Welcome to the Connection Point Podcast through the ministry of First Southern Baptist Church, Salina, Kansas, where we aim to connect you to God, to others, and to the church. What is up, listeners? It is good to be back. Pastor Tyler here. And Dr. Irvin.
And soon to be Dr. Pastor Tyler. Reverend Dr. Pastor Ball.
We've got 3 years. And that's all dependent on me actually passing the program.
And if you think that is going to stop me for 1 second from calling you Reverend Pastor Reverend Dr. Pastor Ball, you've got another thing coming.
Hey, Reverend Dr. Pastor Tyler.
Yeah. We gotta get you in the military so you can be like a Colonel Reverend Dr. Pastor.
That's going to be too much to write, man. That's too many things. Yes, but I am joining the doctoral program at Midwestern, which will be good. So is our senior pastor, Greg. So we're looking forward to that. We'll have to change this to like doc talk or
doc
something.
Doc talk, yes.
We can't do that yet, but stick with us. And in 3 years, it will be doc talk.
Yep.
It is good to be with you guys. We are on episode 12. We were just talking about how time flies. Like we've been having a lot of fun doing these episodes. We hope that you're learning a lot. We hope that you're loving God more and laughing at our jokes. And
yeah, especially laughing at our jokes.
Laughing at our jokes.
Well, especially loving God more, but especially laughing at our
theology
jokes.
Theology top. Yes. It's on the top, but we would like to make our listeners laugh.
The glorification of the triune God always needs to come first.
Sure. But, yes, absolutely.
Laughing at my jokes definitely is second there.
Yeah, second. That's good. Yeah. We're usually well prepared. And we're well prepared for this one.
Well, we were well prepared.
We were. Yeah. Do you want to explain a little bit what happened today?
So I was working on this last night because we talked about last time about what we were going to do.
Right.
So I was ready. I was like, okay, I'm going to get all my verses ready. I'm going to have them written down.
Good to go.
And we normally meet for lunch to talk about this the day of.
Mm-hmm.
We've run into a couple of church people there before. Some of our more distinguished church patrons will also patron Freddy's.
Freddy's. The high-end restaurant, Freddy's.
Yes. So if you have run into me and Tyler when we are there preparing, just know that you are a distinguished patron. I had this written out on a little piece of paper, and it was in my pocket, and I worked really hard. I went all the way through the Bible and was Googling the verses and then reading the surrounding verses to get the context and making sure they were saying
context,
what we wanted to
say. Way to go, man.
Yep. And so I had them all written down. I was like, okay, I'm going to put it right here so I remember it in the morning because I don't want to forget it. It would be very easy for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fold it and put it in my wallet so that I make sure that we have it when I'm there and talking
with
them.
Safe and sound.
Yes. I was like, okay, I'm going to put this in my coat because I'm not going to go without my coat. So I know that when we go to lunch that I'll have it.
Yep.
We did some small talk and we're talking about some other things.
Yep.
And then we got to the point where we said,
Time to get to work.
Yeah. So what do you think, how do we plan this out? How do we organize it? And I said, all right, I got this already.
Yep.
So I go to pull out my little piece of paper, and it bumps my pocket. It falls right between the booth and the wall. I probably look like a doofus trying to, like, squeeze my head into, like, that little crack enough to try and see it. And then I tried moving the booth a little bit, and I don't think the people behind really appreciated that a whole lot. Obviously, they didn't know that it was a holy quest I was on, so.
We lost it.
Yeah.
It fell into the abyss of the booth.
So I've tried to recreate that since, but just know it would have been glorious had the booth not eaten my paper.
Oh, man. It was funny. Like the joy in your eyes as you were pulling out the piece of paper. And then just seeing your heart sink as it fell into the crack.
Yeah, like in the cartoons where the little kid has the ice cream and then the ice cream falls on the ground.
It's just devastation. Like
that's what it was. Ice cream had fallen on the ground. But at least in that case, if you're not too picky, you can get down and you can still eat the ice cream.
There's some left. Yours was gone,
man. Yeah, just grab a handful of it. Yeah, there's no getting to my paper. So.
I don't want to laugh at your pain, man, but it was a little bit comical, man. I mean,
I'm
made kind of like a Homer Simpson kind of noise. Don't go through, but
sad trombone noise.
Yeah, it was just everything about it was funny, man.
So I'm just gonna tell myself that God wanted a future construction worker that is going to be remodeling Freddy's at some point.
They're gonna find that.
Yeah, they're gonna open it up and be like, oh. I've been wondering about Jesus. Like, let's check this out. There's some verses.
There's one little thing that I have to know, though. You are a doctor.
Yes.
How's your handwriting?
That's two things.
But how's your handwriting as a doctor?
Not great.
Okay, well,
but that was true before I was a doctor. So
the notes that you left that you dropped in the booth, are we talking bad handwriting that only you can read?
No, they should be able to read it.
Okay, so
it's print.
It's print. Okay.
So yeah, if I'd done cursive, probably not. I write in cursive when I don't want other people to be able to read what I want to say.
They don't even teach that anymore, man. Cursive, it's like a lost art.
Are they not teaching cursive anymore?
They're not. Oh. They need to.
We're teaching my daughter cursive. So.
That's the way to do it. I'll teach my sons to cursive.
Yeah.
So where do you go? Side note, we're getting sidetracked. I know.
Yes.
We were at my church in Dodge City. We were looking for a sign, getting a new sign, and they told us not to get anything in cursive because people wouldn't be able to read our sign. That's crazy. But let's bring back cursive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Here we come. Now that we're back on, guys. We have, we talked a little bit about 2 weeks ago. The word for you today is hypostatic union.
Union, yes.
And this is a great time to do so.
Yes.
Because we just had Christmas.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Yeah, we should have done it before Christmas, but
that's,
you know,
okay.
The abortion one, it was very topical. And,
right.
You know, talking about unplanned pregnancies around Christmas time, also very topical.
Very topical,
so,
right? This was a very unplanned, Mary had no idea.
Yeah.
Yes, unplanned. So hypostatic union. Well, how would you give us the definition?
So, we were kind of looking this up before to make sure we were saying the right thing.
Saying
too.
It's right. Yeah.
I think the one that I liked the best was when it said the hypostatic comes from the Greek meaning substance.
Yeah.
And so it's a union of the substances. So basically, this is we would say that Jesus is fully God and fully human, fully man. That he's not. He has all the attributes of both, that none of his divinity was taken away in the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
There's another, you know, I think it's Latin, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, incarne, mm-hmm. like, basically means in meat.
Right.
You know, if you're at you know, Chipotle and they have, you know, carne asada.
Carne,
you know,
asada.
Or, you know, meat. That's meat.
Asada.
Asada.
Yeah.
Yes. El Niño, Spanish for the Niño.
The Niño.
Yeah. But yeah, so in meat. And so this is when God, you know, took on human flesh, became human. But he did not lose any of his divinity in that.
Right. And so when the shepherds are looking at a baby in the manger, as we talk about in Christmas time, they are looking at one who is fully God and fully human. So the hypostatic union being this, and there's a big sense of mystery. We don't understand it.
Yeah.
We're gonna try to wrap our heads around it tonight, but we have no clue how it works together. It's the greatness of God. But hypostatic union is the union of Christ's divinity and full humanness together in one substance, being his body on earth.
Yeah. And how could you understand this?
Yeah.
We don't really understand what it truly means to be human.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask somebody, what does it mean to be human?
Different definitions.
Yeah, that's a hard question to answer.
Sure. Yeah.
We had one of my Awanas things that I taught, we had a fun time because I pretended to be a robot that wanted to learn to become human.
You're always you're so creative with those things, man.
Oh, Tyler, how you go on. the kids really liked it, but it was really interesting because it got them thinking, and you could tell some of the things they'd never thought about. And so, you know, we kind of did it as, okay, well, is there anybody that wasn't human that became a human? And our wise kids are super smart.
They are, man.
They picked it up pretty quick.
Yeah.
But then actually trying to define human, so this is not a knock on our Awanas kids. They had a tough time with it.
You know? As anybody would.
Yeah. I don't think it would have been any better if we'd asked
the adult.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, how can we expect to understand the joining of the divine logos with humanity when we don't even understand humanity by itself?
Right. And then obviously we have zero idea what it means to be fully God.
Yeah.
So we don't know how to be fully one or the other. We definitely don't know how they are existing together too,
so
in Christ.
Yeah, pretty much everything that we're going to talk about here tonight is it's going to just come from divine revelation. It's going to come from the Bible,
right,
what the Bible says about this.
Yep. And we want to really emphasize to you that this is crazy important.
Yes.
I mean, for your doctrine, for your theology, and it has huge implications. And we're talking all the way from the effectiveness of your salvation, his death on the cross. It's got, so we really want to focus on that tonight too, is why it's so important that it was fully God and fully human.
Yeah, and I can't remember if we actually said this, but the hypostatic union is Christmas. Christmas is the celebration of the hypostatic union,
yes,
of God becoming man. That is why it's perfect time for it, and it's why it's so important.
It is so important. So
the hypostatic union, you have to have it in order to answer the question, mm-hmm. why did Jesus come, why did he have to die,
yep.
and what does he actually do?
Right. And so we're going to cover all of that. So Christmas was what, 2 days ago?
Yes.
Today's the 27th,
yes.
right? Yes. So this is our late Christmas gift to you.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho. Yeah. That was good.
Yes.
Yeah. You're not wearing a Santa suit, but...
Nope.
That's right.
We're giving it... We're giving you a Christmas gifts, even though you are all degenerate sinners. And
Merry Christmas.
In need of repentance. Yeah.
All right. So, I think... and I want you to expand on this a little bit, that... In this hypostatic union, obviously Philippians 2 is where we go, where there it was a emptying of himself. Now, expand a little bit on that, but also that Christ didn't lose any of that. It wasn't taken away from him. This was a willing act of laying those things aside, which is important.
Yeah. So. And this is, again, gets a little difficult to really dig into. Mm-hmm. Because we don't understand a lot about the mechanics of the process. This is not something we can look at nature and be like, oh, this is the same way that mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell.
Right, right.
You know, the one thing everybody remembers.
I do remember biology. Powerhouse.
Yeah, yeah, everybody
the one
does.
Thing, man.
Yeah. There's like these real random tidbits of biological mm-hmm. information that people remember. Mm-hmm. Mitochondria is powerhouse of the cell. Bananas have potassium. That's all you need to know.
Then you about have a like master's level education with those two things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so talk about that a little bit. Laying it down. Do we want to go to Philippians 2? Is that where you want to start? We've got a bunch of verses for you guys today.
Yeah. So a lot of different places you could go to. So Colossians 2:9.
Okay.
For him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. That's hypostatic union right there.
Sure.
So, and you know, that's something to, we really need to drive home. Is that a lot of people, you know, you'll hear people say things like, oh, you know, I'm not going to get into theology, or, you know, I don't need to know theological terms and stuff. I'm mm-hmm. just going to go with the Bible.
Sure.
Well, that's what theological terms are, or at least should be.
Sure.
These are descriptions of things that you find in the Bible.
Right.
So Colossians 2:9, hypostatic union, is a description of what Colossians 2:9 is saying about Jesus, mm-hmm. that you have the fullness of deity dwelling in a body.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Philippians 2:6-8.
My favorite.
Yeah, another good one. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we used that when we talked about submission, on our submission one, didn't we?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a heavy hitter.
Yeah, so if you haven't memorized it yet, go memorize this.
Go memorize it. Yeah, it's just great. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
We might use it 3 more times through, you know, who knows.
It's just a good one to keep coming back to.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good one. And that's incredible that what he laid down, he picked back up again in glory. You know, that's where he's at now.
Yeah. Now, do you have the Hebrews ones?
Yeah. These are great.
Yeah, there's really,
so,
really good ones.
I want to read a few of these. Now, these really talk about his humanness. And the necessity for that. So,
yeah.
Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, and then here they are talking about Jesus, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. That's important.
Yes.
In every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So this verse destroys, and we're going to get to heresies here in a little bit, but this verse single-handedly destroys any notion that he wasn't fully human.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just clear as day there. In Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin."
Yes.
So let's spend a little time talking about why it was completely necessary that he be fully human, and also completely necessary that he be fully God.
Like,
if they kind of pick and choose throughout this podcast, I'd encourage you to maybe perk up a little bit right here. You know, if you're not going to get much of anything else, to drive this home.
Yes.
And I know you're like, we want them to know all of it.
Yeah, now you've really set this up. So
but this is
now, now I've got to be like, okay, I got to really start off good here.
Don't mess it up. But starting with his humanity.
Yes.
Why was it necessary that Jesus come to the earth fully human?
So I would say that it is necessary for Jesus to come to the earth fully human because in order for him to make the sacrifice to atone for human sins, he had to be human. So you can see that in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. That's a fancy Bible way of saying he's human.
Right,
Born under the law.
Important.
Yes, that's huge and important. That Jesus was born under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because this goes back to... it goes back to the Proto-Evangelion, which is, I think, is it Genesis 2?
Genesis 2.
Yeah. Where
they're going to hear some Bible pages ruffling, because I'm going to double check. But Genesis 2, yes.
And so, little sidebar here.
Yeah.
If you're ever talking with a snooty atheist that says, oh, well, the Canaanite religions, they have birth from a virgin as well. Duh. Canaan was Noah's grandson. So you have this prophecy given to Adam that a offspring will be born to a virgin. And Adam, this was passed along down there, down the line. And so this came from Noah. So obviously your Canaanite religions are going to have this because... Mm-hmm. Noah was his grandfather. He'd heard this before.
Yeah.
So when you're making up your own religion, you're not going to start completely from scratch. You're going to take what you know and kind of twist it around.
Genesis 3, by the way.
Three. Okay.
But yeah.
So we have Adam who falls in the garden.
Fails.
Yes. And federally, you have the rest of humanity following with it. You've got this...
Can you explain real quick federally... We kind of, the two main ones are federal headship and natural headship.
Yeah.
Could you explain what you mean by federal, real quick, just for our listeners?
So I would say federal headship is that Adam stood in the place of all of humanity.
He was our representative.
Yes. So the same way, it's not as total, but the same way where if the Congress declares war on a country, you're at war with that country.
Right,
even
right.
though you didn't really have a say-so in that, you know, Congress is the head of our, you know, our government is the head of our country, and they have decided what our country will do.
Right.
Adam is the head of humanity.
Right.
And this is, you can get a lot, you can really dig into this, depending on how nitty-gritty you like.
Yeah.
I'm a biology major with a chemistry minor, and so I'm interested in the fact of, you know, is sin passed down genetically?
Which would be more natural headship.
Right.
Yes.
There's a possibility there. And that's a whole nother topic of, you know, hey, is that why Jesus didn't have a human father, but he did have a human mother?
Mm-hmm.
So he was born under the law, but he was not born... with the original fallen state that Adam was.
Whole another podcast.
Just throw out a little meat for your listeners to chew on there. But so you have humanity that has fallen under Adam, and Jesus comes. God sends his son to take on human flesh, becomes incarnate,
Yes.
And he becomes human. And so the Bible talks about, we've done songs in one church this before, Jesus is the new and better Adam.
It's a great song.
Just as, I think it's Romans.
It's in Romans, yes.
Just as...
Death came through one man,
so life came to all those. So all those that are under Adam have death,
yep.
But all those who are under Christ have life.
Have life. Amen, man. You preach it out, man. That's good stuff. Man.
Hallelujah.
Hey, man. That's incredible. But yes, so Jesus is the true and perfect Adam.
Yes.
The greater Adam, I mean.
Yes.
Adam failed.
Yeah, and every time we quote Hebrews, I just want to read the entire book to people.
Right.
So, listeners, go read Hebrews.
Oh, man.
And then read it again, because, I mean, Hebrews explains all of this way better than I can. And that's why I just keep wanting to read several chapters to you.
Yeah.
One and two are very good are good ones to help you understand the hypostatic union.
Yeah.
9 and 10 are another good ones. I think 3 and 4, we found some gems from there too.
You'll find gems in every chapter.
Yeah. So basically, God sets up a picture of this in the Old Testament. You have the high priests that come before God. An animal is slain and blood is shed.
Right.
Basically to represent like the seriousness of sin.
Yes.
And that where there is sin, there is death.
And blood has to be shed to
Absolutely. Atone for it.
Absolutely.
This is a picture of what God will have to do later on with his own son, that you have the perfect lamb that God sends. And Hebrews talks about how the priests have to keep doing this and doing this and doing this. But Jesus, being fully God, is in the heavenly places, continuing to make intercession for the saints.
Right.
So he is a perfect priest that he couldn't do this if he was just human.
Right.
He could not be perfect and do this forever.
Right.
If he was just God, he wouldn't be able to make this sacrifice because he's not under the law,
right.
And the law has not been fulfilled.
Right.
And so there's some people that have a hard time with federal headship.
Sure.
The idea that, why would I be held accountable for what Adam did?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, for the same reason that you would be held accountable for what Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
You don't deserve either one of those.
No.
That's not true. I take that back. I don't like how I said that.
We can go back to total depravity.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm getting rabbit trail. So you...
We definitely did not deserve to be represented by Christ.
Yes. So.
But yes.
Yeah. But rewind that and erase it out of your brain. Do the Wayne's World. So you had to have these two substances joined in order to make this perfect prophet, priest, and king.
Yep.
To come to save his people. And
absolutely.
I would say this,
absolutely.
When we talked back about definite atonement, I think this ties into that as well and back into all of that. So that's why I got to be careful with the rabbit trails because a lot of these things interconnect to each other. And if you don't have a good understanding of one, it makes it more difficult to the other. So I'm like, okay, well, now I got to explain this. Okay, now I got to explain this.
Right. That shows the importance of theology.
So
people are doubting... you mind if I share just a couple of thoughts on...
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Galatians.
I will allow you to talk on our podcast, Tyler.
Thanks. Well, I'm not a doctor yet, so I'm down on the totem pole. So I'm just requesting a few minutes, if you don't mind.
I appreciate your humbleness, Reverend Dr. Tyler Ball.
Oh, man. That's good.
Reverend Dr. Basketball Tyler Ball.
Like I said, I got to pass first, man. But Galatians 4:4. So he's born under the law, right? And he upheld it perfectly.
Yes,
as a human, which makes the perfect human sacrifice. Like, so let's go back to the Old Testament. They're sacrificing animals. They got to find the choice animals, right? They got to find the pure ones. But even the choicest, the purest, whatever it is, they're still flawed, right? I mean, so we've got sacrifice after sacrifice, and I don't think people understand how nasty this would have been. I mean, we're talking smell, sight. I mean, it's just it. a disgusting thing. This isn't a clean thing that happened.
Yeah.
This was...
We might have some. We might have some farmers that have done slaughtered their
sure,
own.
Sure, right. Yeah, yeah, that's a... I lived in Dodge City.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, if you've ever lived in Dodger Garden, you have an idea. Yeah, you have an idea.
Both of us, right? Yeah. So, it's a messy ordeal. But over and over again, because it's a flawed sacrifice, Jesus being fully human, born under the law, upholding the law perfectly, therefore being a perfect sacrifice that needs only done once. He doesn't need to come back and do it again. His death doesn't need added. There's no anything that needs to be put on. His death was final as the perfect sacrifice as a human. And so I think that's really important. But it's also important that he was crucified fully God too. If the sacrifice was simply of a human sacrifice and no God at all, it is not sufficient to cover the sins of mankind.
Yeah.
You know, it is God himself. And so you do not get the security of our salvation. You do not get the perseverance of the saints. You don't get a steadfast hope unless the hypostatic union was in Christ as he died on the cross. You just don't get any of that stuff.
Yeah. I agree 100% with everything you said
such,
there.
Such good stuff.
Yeah. I want to spring one on you now.
Oh, no. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
All right.
So I just think this is an interesting question. Yeah. So you're in the garden.
I'm in the garden.
Eve has fallen.
Yeah.
Adam has not yet. Could Adam have died as a sacrifice for Eve?
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. Well,
I'm not going to be dogmatic about this. I'll see you can poke some holes in it if you want. But what do you think? I want to hear what you think first.
Immediately, anybody dying, anybody's death being sufficient besides Christ does not sit well with me. So I probably would say no just immediately. I don't have anything to back that up. So let me hear your thought. It just doesn't sit well with me to think of
so
that.
So I think the answer is yes.
Okay, expand.
But very limited, in a very limited way.
Okay.
So I think that at that point, Adam was without sin,
uh-huh.
and that he could have sacrificed himself in place of Eve so that Eve didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But he could only do it once. He would die. Adam would be gone then.
Yeah, yeah.
He would take on the punishment, and that would be it for him. And if Eve sinned again...
In trouble, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, that sin is that she would fall again.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's why you need the perfect
Absolutely.
Priest and mediator.
Hey, so you're tying it back in here.
Yeah.
Good, man. Yeah.
It's because, and you know, like I said, feel free to poke holes in this. This is very, very metaphysical here.
Sure.
This is not grounded in I'm not sure I can ground this in biblical verses.
Disclaimer. So,
yes. This is more just fun thought experimental, shall we say. but I think that illustrates why, like you were saying, Jesus had to be fully God mm-hmm. In order to do this. And it talks about that in Hebrews, about how he takes a seat at the right hand of the Father and continuously makes intercessions for the saints throughout eternity. And Adam, as only human, would not be able to do that.
No, you're right.
It might be sufficient for that one person at that one time, mm-hmm. but would not be the eternal yep. Gifts and glories that Jesus gives us.
So again, Adam is not the perfect sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering where you're going with that, but it does go well with, again, highlighting why hypostatic union.
Yeah. I think another one, Hebrews 4:15, for we mm-hmm. do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness,
mm-hmm.
but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are,
sure.
yet without sin.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think this answers a core emotional question.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you, God, to do this? So there's a quote I've heard from a Holocaust survivor
mm-hmm.
That says, "If there is a God, he's going to have to beg for my forgiveness."
Mm.
That's a raw quote.
Yeah.
You know, you can understand where he's coming from.
Right.
You know, being somebody that lived through the atrocities of the Holocaust.
Right.
Kind of shaking their fist at God and saying, "Who are you to mm-hmm. you know inflict this upon humanity?"
Yeah.
And, you know, Hebrews 4:15 talks about, you know, Jesus didn't go through the Holocaust, but in every way, Jesus was tempted. Mm-hmm. He feels these weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
So all And this is something that's unique to Christianity.
Yes, absolutely.
All your other gods, so your Muslim God, your Jewish God, they don't really understand what it's like to be human. Mm-hmm. And all your other religions, so you know, let's say Greek mythology, where sometimes the gods would like pretend to be humans,
right?
For a little bit, or you might lose your godhood and have to gain it back, like Thor in the Marvel comic,
right?
In Marvel universe,
right.
They lose their godhood. Mm-hmm. They're lesser, weaker gods than the perfect, all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal God that is of Christianity.
Yeah,
and so it's that the combination of the hypostatic union enables God to fully sympathize with humanity, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Jesus can be the shoulder for you to cry on,
yep.
And can comfort you because he has gone through the same thing.
Right.
I talk with a lot of people that have lost loved ones for illnesses or accidents and things, mm-hmm. and there's really nothing you can say for that. The thing that helps them the most normally is talking with somebody else who has gone through the same thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's nothing you say. Sometimes you just sit and cry with people.
Right.
And God can do that in Christianity because Jesus took on all of that. Mm-hmm. So even though Jesus didn't live through the Holocaust, Jesus took on that sin mm-hmm. of the Holocaust and bore that pain on the cross.
That is good. And as a pastor, there have been some times where someone may have lost a family member and I'm driving to their house or hospital just wondering, what am I even going to say?
Yeah.
And you just get there and you just sit in silence and you weep together. You know, it's just something about that. That takes me to Matthew 11 and 28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." He identifies with our struggles. So if you're struggling today, this is a good reminder, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, know that Jesus is not a man with a white beard that lives in a far off cloud and mm-hmm. Tosses lightning bolts down at you.
Right.
He was born in squalor in a stable and not the most cleanly part of history, I would say.
Sure.
Lived a rough life. People out for his blood, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Betrayed by his friends, took on the full brunt and sin of humanity. Mm-hmm. So any sadness or affliction or bad thing that has happened to us in our life, mm-hmm. it's happened just a million times
Absolutely.
More to Jesus.
Absolutely.
When he took that on the cross and mm-hmm. when he lived his life here.
Absolutely.
So he's, like Hebrews 4:15 says, he's not unable to sympathize with us in our own weakness because he lived with that weakness mm-hmm. And he conquered it. Mm-hmm. Lived without sin, died without sin, and then took his place with the Godhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got to be careful when we're talking about Trinity, like as we've said before. I'm not sure if it's right to say he took his place back with the Godhead, because mm-hmm. I don't think he ever actually left, but
sure.
back in heaven.
Yeah. Sure.
In closer proximity than he was on earth. I still don't know that's the right way to say
it. I get what you're saying. Yeah, but, and I just think about the garden scene. He's begging his disciples to stay up and pray with him. They fail him, three times?
Yeah.
Stay up, pray with me. And he goes back and they're sleeping. I mean, if you feel like life has just abandoned you and everybody's abandoned you, Jesus even knows that feeling and he can sympathize with you in that. I mean, just going through all that. And he could have just said, that's it, I'm out, right?
Yeah.
They're not worth dying for, but he still went to the cross.
Yeah, well, think about the Last Supper, like sitting there with your best friends mm-hmm. and telling Judas, go, do what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, I, if you've ever, I, you know, hopefully this has not happened to any of our listeners, but I just think of, and it hasn't happened to me. Mm-hmm. Don't, that's not what I'm saying. this has not happened to me.
Has not.
Yeah.
I repeat.
But like, I think about like sitting across the table from like a cheating spouse. Uh-huh. Again, has not happened to me. My wife is lovely and wonderful and without reproach. But, you know, just looking at somebody that you know has just betrayed the very essence, your closest friend, and confidant, and it's just, you know, betrayed you, and saying, go do what you're going to do.
Yeah.
How that had to have just broken his heart.
Dude, you're about to get some tears from my eyes, man. You got to stop, man. I don't want to.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't want to be crying on this side.
All right. You want to get to heresies? So back to the academics. So.
Back to heresies. One quick question.
Yeah.
And we talked about this at lunch. And this would, again, we go way out. But talk about the will of Jesus for just a moment.
Oh.
So I think we have to address that with the hypostatic union. If you're fully God, fully human.
Yeah.
Did Jesus have two wills? Those who say he did will go to the garden scene, you know, not my will, but yours be done. I thought you explained it pretty good earlier. And will you give just your thoughts on if Jesus had one or two wills? And then again, this is a whole other episode. We could spend hours on it. Touching real quick.
Remind me what I said earlier.
You said something really good.
Okay. Thank you for that. That Reverend Doctor right there, folks, Reverend Doctor wisdom.
Whatever you said, though, it was, he had his own will, but it was perfectly in line with the Father.
You get back into the Trinity.
We're back to the Trinity.
The Trinity's hard anyways, and then when you add the hypostatic union in, it gets especially hard. So... what's Jesus' relationship with the other persons of the Godhead while he's on earth?
We have agreed there was a submissive aspect to that, for sure.
And so I would say that Jesus does have his own will, but that it is in perfect union and unity with with the wills of the Father and the Spirit as well.
My will is to do the will of the Father who sent me.
Yeah. And I think it's difficult. So I can see how you can make the argument from the grammar there.
Sure. Yeah.
This is not an area where I think we are given enough information to really speak real authoritatively on it. I don't think there is disunity between the Godhead.
Yeah, absolutely.
God is love. There is no disunity in the person of God.
Uh-huh.
And so to say that there are two different wills that would be at loggerheads against each other.
Yeah.
I think that's wrong to say that.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think that Jesus was saying, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do this. I think he was expressing the fear and trepidation that's
part of being fully human.
Yeah. I feel like this is the humanness of Jesus coming out here.
Yeah.
Imagine being God and then taking on human frailty and weakness, but also knowing what's going to come.
Mm-hmm. And it was right around the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, have you ever thought, so his whole life, he knows that it is leading to one destination, the cross.
Like,
if I knew, I'm 33, so I would have been around the age he was crucified.
Yeah.
If I knew this whole time that my life was leading to the cross for people who would hate me, betray me. I couldn't do it, man. I mean, so we see this coming out.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
And that leads into some interesting questions too. What's the verse where it talked about he emptied himself?
Yeah, that's Philippians 2.
Philippians
he emptied
2?
Himself.
Okay.
Yeah, becoming the very nature of a
servant.
So
So when we talk about Jesus being fully God,
mm-hmm.
there are some attributes of the Godhead that are not fully expressed.
Yes.
In the incarnate Son.
Yep, and we've talked about that before a little bit.
Yeah, one of those is Jesus wasn't omnipresent.
Right. Wasn't everywhere.
Yeah, Jesus was not everywhere when he was incarnate.
Yes.
I would say that he was, in his incarnate state, was not necessarily, he didn't have the complete knowledge. I don't know that I could say what he did and didn't know at that time, or what was kept from.
Sure. He didn't know the day or the hour.
Right. That's one there.
And I'm not talking about the day or hour of the day he was in, like the time.
Right.
Talking about the coming of of Christ. He, there was in on earth, at least, he did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the coming, the day of the Lord that he talks about Matthew, is it 13, 14, 15, I think?
If you quote enough chapters, if you say enough chapters, we'll hit it.
Yeah.
So it's in Matthew somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's 14.
Yeah.
The Olivet Discourse, we'll say that.
Olivet Discourse, that's 24.
Yes.
24.
So there are some things where it talks about he emptied himself and became humble. Mm-hmm. These are the words that he uses. Again, it's hard to really get into the mechanics of this because there's nothing in nature that's like it.
Yeah,
and so we have to use the descriptor words that the Bible gives us. Mm-hmm. And it paints an incomplete picture for our understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like you said when we started off, there's going to be some mystery in this just because everything we get from this has to come from divine revelation. We only know what God has revealed to us in this.
Right, and you're absolutely right. But again, you and I would not worship a God that we could fully understand, that we could fully comprehend. He's not worthy of our lives and our worship. We worship a God who is just so far beyond us and always will be. So it gives us a reason to worship. Now, with that being said, let's kind of get into a couple heresies. Mm-hmm. Again, many heresies come out of the intention of trying to explain things mm-hmm. that haven't been revealed. I mean, that's where a lot of these are born out of. And so when there are men early in Christian history that are trying to rectify how Jesus could possibly be fully human and fully God at the same time in the hypostatic union, really a lot of these heresies come out of their conclusion that he can't.
Yeah.
So here's some alternatives that they think are going. But again, we would take very strong stances on these heresies because we have explained to you guys that it was absolutely necessary for the salvation of our souls for Christ to be fully human and fully God. So we have to take these heresies seriously because they have serious implications for what we've been talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's start out with Docetism. That's when you want to start with?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you explain that one and then I'll come up behind you with another one. So.
Yeah. So I don't know if any of my Awanas kids listen to this, but... For one of the times I did Awanas, I made a little PowerPoint presentation. I called it the Heresy Hunter. And so I paired...
So creative, by the way, man.
Different types of heresies with animals. Mm-hmm. And so we pretended like we were on a safari and they had to learn to recognize these dangerous animals.
Uh-huh.
And so the one I used for docetism was a jellyfish. And so the reason is what docetism is the idea that Jesus was not truly human.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus kind of looked human. But he didn't actually have a like physical body. This is very Gnostic in its idea.
Yeah, it is.
Gnostics thought the physical world was yucky and bad.
Right. All spiritual.
Yeah,
some good,
yeah.
Yes.
And so anything good couldn't have a physical aspect to
right.
it. Yeah. So Jesus didn't have a true body, and that he was just God, mm-hmm. basically.
Yeah.
And. This is why we spent so much time talking about why you needed to be fully God and fully man.
Uh-huh.
Because if he's not fully human, he's not going to be able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to atone for us the way that he can with being human. Oh,
right.
I wanted to talk about this too.
Because keep it going, man. We got time.
Yep. There's a quote from Mark Twain. Mark Twain was an atheist.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of his protests he brought against Christians. He says, "Well, no Christian ever prays for Satan because and even though he's the chief sinner and would need forgiveness and repentance the most." And that really bugged me for a while. I was like, "Oh, that is interesting. Do I need to pray for Satan?
Mm-hmm.
I should be praying for Satan."
Answer, no.
Yeah, the answer is no. And the reason is because of the hypostatic union.
Mm-hmm.
When you are talking about what Jesus came to do, he only did it for humanity.
Yes.
It's in Hebrews, I think, where it talks about Jesus is not doing this for the angels.
Right. Satan being an angel, a bad one, but being an angel is not
fallen,
for him.
Fallen angels do not have an avenue back to the grace of God.
No, they do not.
Because Jesus did not take the form of God and an angel.
Right.
That's
a great point.
So this was another one I heard from an atheist. If you had a gorilla that became sufficiently smart, could that gorilla be saved?
Be saved, yeah.
And the answer again is no.
Right.
Because God did not... God did not wasn't the substance of God was not joined with the substance of gorilla.
Right.
It's purely and uniquely human.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that the angels have said, look with wonder, is this redemption of humanity.
Yeah.
And humanity alone. So, again, so anything else on Docetism that you want to say?
Yeah, Docetists are the ones that say Jesus was not fully human.
Think of the jellyfish. Go to the jellyfish.
Yeah, jellyfish doesn't have a body. Jesus didn't really have a physical body.
Right.
He just appeared to.
Right.
And I think the other thing I said was, jellyfish don't look like humans. They're one of the least human-like animals you can find.
You probably won't mistake a jellyfish for a human.
Yeah.
Like if I'm swimming in the ocean, I see a jellyfish, chances are I might.
Yeah, you'll be like, human. Oh, Bob! Hey,
Bob! Oh, you stung me! Yeah. You stung me, Bob! Yeah. Oh, wait, it's a jellyfish.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. So I guess Docetism.
If you ever mistake a jellyfish for me, I probably need to hit the treadmill.
That's true. If someone, that'll be our motivation. If we get mistaken for a flabby jellyfish, yes. It's time to solid up a little bit. Okay.
So I'm going to let you take adoptionism and dynamic monarchism.
Yeah, which is kind of the same thing. And again, we don't have an exhaustive knowledge over these things, and we're not touching all the heresies. But this one's important, too, because this one contends that Jesus was human, mm-hmm. and through his life, God adopted him as his son. Now, there's different... points in Jesus' life where they'll make the argument of being adopted. Some will say he was adopted at baptism, mm-hmm. and they'll use the image of God speaking, this is my son, whom I love and well pleased, the Holy Spirit descending. Some will say he was adopted at the cross, mm-hmm. trying to answer how he died as God. Okay, so, mm-hmm. Adopted as God on the cross.
Yeah.
And then others will say adopted at the ascension, when God brings him up.
So this would kind of be like the Disney movie Hercules, where he has to prove himself a true hero.
Right.
And then as he's getting ready to die, he dies, but then he becomes a god, and he gets out of the river Styx and takes his place on Olympus.
Absolutely. That's what this is. It was Jesus was not God, and he was adopted later in. That is obviously not true. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only begotten son on there, only mm-hmm. begotten son. It doesn't say adopted son.
Right.
We could also go to John. We just got to go to the first chapter in John.
Yeah, first chapter of John.
You just go there and it destroys anything about Jesus not being God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Was God. I mean, Word, Logos, Christ. Yeah. I mean, he is God. Yeah. So
Jesus himself said, before Abraham was, I am.
I am.
And the Jews knew what he was saying when he said that. So
right,
didn't
absolutely.
Go over well.
So adoptionism, that's a huge heresy.
Yeah, so you kind of got the two different sides that you can fall off on either way here.
Right.
So Docetism is too much God.
Right.
Adoptionism or the dynamic monarchism is too much man.
Too much human. And again, you fall on each side of those spectrums. Mm-hmm. God, the crucifixion of Christ does not have its full effect, so.
I'm thinking about if you've seen when they do the breakfast cereals where it's like, oh no, too many marshmallows.
Right? Yes, yeah. Right.
It's your deity. Oh no, too much humanity.
So yes, you have to come back to fully God, fully human together.
Yeah.
Apollinarianism
or
neo-Apollinarianism.
Yeah, so I think this is especially relevant to talk about. So a lot of times when we're talking about heresies, a lot of people think, why do we need to know these? These are all old stuff that mm-hmm. people figured out. We don't need to worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Heresy, if you don't know what these heresies are mm-hmm. and how they've been disproven, they're going to come back.
They will, and you will be taken away by the winds of heresies and indoctrination.
Yeah. So Andy Stanley thinks he did something when he said, we need to unhitch from the Old Testament.
Yeah,
that's not a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good Lord, I forgot what the name of the heresy is off the top. It's my snake in my thing, but this is an old heresy of mm-hmm. The God of the Old Testament is evil and bad, and we don't need that. It's just the New Testament.
The New Testament God, right?
And so you'll see some of this with Apollinarianism. So Apollinarianism is trying to split this the hypostatic union up into parts.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hesitate to use metaphors.
Dr. Irvin is very anti-metaphors.
No, I love metaphors is the problem, but...
when it comes to...
Yeah, they get you into trouble when you're talking about God.
Talking about God. That's what I'm going to preface here.
There is no other... There is none like him. So.
Right.
Your Apollinarians is the idea that like a divine, a God mind and God soul was put into human body.
Yes.
That the godness, like that you might think of Jesus's body as a cup, and the godness was poured into it. Mm-hmm. This would be like the way we would think about what's it called when like the demons inside you? Possession. Yeah, possession. Jesus just possessed
a human body. Yeah.
That's what I think Apollonius, I think, was that Apollos? Was that the guy's name that came up with this?
Yep.
We would not say that is correct, because we would say that these two are in perfect balance at the same time. Mm-hmm. So your Apollinarians are thinking that... Jesus was more like a sandwich where, hey, we're going to add these two together and they fit together.
Uh-huh.
Whereas we would say it's probably, again, I hesitate to use these, it's more like dropping a drop of food coloring into a glass of water.
Sure.
You've got this balance between the two where you really can't tell the difference between the food coloring and the water anymore.
Right.
It's become one substance.
Right.
And so you have the substance of God, the substance of man together in the person. Now, but that you don't lose, again, the metaphor is not...
It's a pretty good one. I got to commend your metaphor. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you don't lose the distinctiveness of either one, too.
Yeah.
This is an important one to know, because there is a movement called Neo-Apollinarianism that is very... very well thought of in some of the higher Christian circles.
Mm-hmm. Especially your philosophical circles.
Yeah. Any William Lane Craig fans. Yep. William Lane Craig is a self-described. That means this is the term he uses to describe what he believes.
Mm-hmm.
He's a self-described Neo-Apollinarianism. He doesn't believe what Apollonius believed, and he makes that distinction. So the way he would describe it is that... he would say, like, when you're made in the image of when God says, "Let us make man in our own image," what that means is rationality, and that anything that has rationality is made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And so, you had a human body, but he would say that. I think he would say this, Dr. Craig, if you're listening to this, I'm sure he's hanging on the words here. I apologize if I am misrepresenting you. If you want to let us know, I will be happy to take the correction and correct it at the next one. But I think the way he would say it is our mind is the same type of mind as God is. Mm-hmm. Now, God's is more powerful. Mm-hmm. We're not omniscient. We're not all-knowing.
Right.
But the logic and the reasoning, that is something that is special to the mind of God, and that is what he gave us when he made us in our image.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing that God was missing of being human was the body.
The body, yeah.
And I think that's wrong for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about here.
I would agree.
Yeah. It's a little presumptuous of me, too, to... Dr. Craig has done a lot of good work in a lot of good areas, you want to be careful about going after people that are doing good work, but that's an area I think it's a big mistake, and I think it causes a lot of problems when you're trying to go through and as we go back to why is it important to understand the hypostatic union, because it's going to cause you problems when you talk about why did Jesus come to earth?
Uh-huh.
Why did he have to die?
Mm-hmm.
Why could God not just say, well, you're all forgiven. You sinned. I'm throwing it out. I'm God. I can do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
This answer is going to come into that. And I think some of that comes from some other points in Dr. Craig's theology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are just a few of the heresies. There's obviously some
others. But we're not even though we know our listeners love just listening to long lists of heresies.
Again,
so those are some three important ones, yeah. I would
and,
say.
And everything that we're giving you guys this evening, we feel is necessary and important for the hypostatic union. So, man, that's good stuff.
Yeah,
that is good. Anything else that you want to cover? I mean, that's that. I mean, I think we've summed up pretty good. So, you know, as we conclude, we believe that Jesus was fully God.
Yes.
And that he was fully human, both necessary to make salvation permanent, final, sufficient for us. The mystery of that, we don't understand. I don't understand how one can be. So for you and I, 100% is complete.
Yes.
I don't know how you add 100% and 100%.
Yeah, the food coloring example is close.
It's close.
Yeah, it's still not perfect, though.
Right, but it's a good picture, though. Because you can see when you drop that food coloring, it spreads, and it really does make up the whole thing. So I do applaud your metaphor there pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, there was one thing I wanted to...
Yes. Okay.
Wanted to add. Now I just forgot it again. Oh yeah, that's what it was.
This is
a question about the hypostatic union that a lot of people I think would get wrong if we asked them.
Okay.
And I think you got it wrong when I asked you this today.
Okay.
Did Jesus have a human soul?
Uh huh.
And most people's knee jerk reactions say, "Well, no, he didn't have a human soul. He was God."
Mm-hmm.
Can you be a human without having a human soul?
Yeah.
And you go, "Ooh, well, no." And so really. And I don't know which, I think it was an ecumenical council that they got together and talked about this. But if Jesus is fully human, he has to have a human soul.
Right.
So that's something weird to think about.
That's real weird.
And that's where, you know, people will fall into that Apollinarianism is, oh, no, he didn't have a human soul. He had God's soul. He had this godness poured into him.
Yeah.
But no, Jesus was fully human. Jesus had a human soul and was completely in uniquely human.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I believe it because the Bible says it. And
yeah. I wanted to make sure that one got added in because that's one that, I mean, I think just about everyone you ask would. Yeah. First time I heard it, I was like, well, no, Jesus can't have a human soul.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, can you be human without having a human soul?
Sure.
I was like, ooh.
Right.
Guess I'm wrong.
if he's fully human, he's got to be fully human.
Yep.
I mean, that's
exactly.
just how that is. But man, this is good stuff.
Yeah, in every respect.
Every respect, right. He's quoting scripture. Yeah. He was made like his brothers in every respect. Yeah. Not some or most, but in every respect. So this has been a good one. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
It's a couple days late.
Yes.
But we do hope that when you're putting away your nativity set today or tomorrow, whenever it is, and you see that little baby in the manger.
Yeah. Think about Hark the Herald Angels Sings.
Herald Angels Sing.
Yeah. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. Pleased as man with us to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel.
Yeah.
That's the hypostatic union right there.
That's good.
The veiled in flesh, we talked about the incarnate, you know, in meat.
Right, right.
Pleased as man, he was a man with us, to dwell.
Yep.
Jesus our Emmanuel, our Savior.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we just chalk that as a Christmas carol and sing it and we're done.
Christmas carols are super good.
Dude, they have some good ones.
Solid theology.
Absolutely. Jingle bells?
Yeah. Jingle bells. All right, get out of here.
We Three Kings. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Not Jingle Bells. My bad. Dude. All right.
Yeah. We Three Kings. Most people don't know the later verses, but it talks about like the shadow of the cross.
Yeah.
That you have in Christmas. That you don't have Christmas without the cross.
Oh, you do not. You do not.
Yes. I don't think all Christmas carols. So you know, I'm not going to talk about how Frosty the Snowman actually...
good theology! Yeah. Was Frosty fully snow and fully human? Yeah.
No, I think Apollinarianism would be right for Frosty because he was a snow thing until he had the hat put on him, and then he became...
Yes.
He had the humanness poured into him from the hat.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one for that heresy. But
hey, if you're needing a doctorate for your thesis...
Yes.
The... Frosty being fully human and fully snow.
Is that where we should go?
I would love to watch you present that.
That might be kind of hard to defend, man.
Money to watch you present that as your thesis.
I'm going to have to say no to that one, but a good. But you made a great point.
Okay, Dr. Spoilsport.
This is important. There is no cross without the manger.
Yeah.
There's no manger without the cross. They go together.
Yeah.
You can't separate them.
Yeah. And
because of the hypostatic union.
I really like those. You have some of the Christmas decorations where you have the manger and then it has the shadow coming off of it.
That's a great thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Guys, we're glad you're with us. Yeah. We love doing this. Again, if there's any way that we can pray for you, let us know. If you've got thought, if you've got questions, send them on here. We do get notifications and we love to answer those things. I will say we have been encouraged. Our followers are going up. Our views are going up. And that really encourages us because we love doing this. We think this is a great way to disciple you. We think it's a great way to represent our church, First Southern Baptist Church, and to show you how seriously we take theology and knowing God as he has revealed himself. So keep listening. Share this. You know, let your friends listen to it.
Yeah,
we love having you.
Yeah, we want this to be as helpful as possible to you. We'd love for you to become more interactive too. If you have questions or things you want us to answer, I don't think we're quite to the point where we can do like an open phones or something like that.
Again, we're on the basic plan.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, send us a message if there's something you want us to talk about, or you know, something you disagree with, or you know, questions you have. We'd love to do that.
Love to.
I also think on my unofficial nickname is still Bodie McBoatface.
So, Bodie McBoatface. Yep.
We threw it out to the listeners. You know, give us a good nickname for me.
Give him a nickname. I'm begging you guys. Give this guy a nickname and make it so ridiculous, but make it stick. And then I'll use it. I promise you. I'll find the most ridiculous one, and that's what he's gonna have to go with.
Yeah. I'll introduce myself at church with it.
You guys hear that? Church.
Yeah.
Well, he preaches for us on occasion. Maybe like we'll be like, hey, we've got Bodie McBoatface preaching today. But
well, you can't use Bodie McBoatface. Like that's mine. They have to come up with their own.
Yeah, we'll figure that out, man. Okay. We love you guys. If you need anything, let us know.
And if this is your first podcast you're listening to, you're going to have to go back to listen to the rest of them to know why I'm talking about Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we use a lot of terms that we build off on. So some terms that if you're not familiar with, go back to some of our episodes and you'll see that we're trying to have stepping stones here for you, you know. But if there are terms or things that you don't understand, please send us a message. We'll get on that, right?
And hopefully, if you're a first-time listener, this wasn't too out of the water for you,
right? Yeah, we want to give you good stuff, but we want you to enjoy listening to it as well.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. Well, we're signing off, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I think we've done Lord of the Rings, where we have like 8 different endings now. So
yes, yeah, we say we're going to end, and we don't.
We are officially signing off.
We are officially signing off. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless.
Love you guys. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye. On behalf of First Southern Baptist Church Salina, thank you so much for listening to our podcast today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer requests, or you want to know more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would love to have you contact us. You can email me at tball@fsbcsalina.com. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings. Our Sunday school is at 9 a.m. and our worship service is at 10:30 a.m. If you want to know more about the church, you can visit us at our website at www.fsbcsalina.com. Again, thanks for joining us today, where we desire to know Christ and to make him known. Blessings.